Good evening. Tonight, Shir is learning the discourse for Refuah Shleima for Rabbi Yitzchok Aharon ben Chaim Mushkut. Obviously, this Shabbos is Friday night. We begin Yom Kippur, and it's a day for Kapara for Klal Yisrael. And we begin the service. We begin Kol Nidre with an interesting pasuk, Or Zeru Al Atzadik Ul Yishrei Lev Simcha, which translates into "Light is sown for the righteous, and for the upright of heart, gladness." It's a, some might think it's a very strange, what does that really mean and what is it all about in terms of Yom Kippur, for, as I titled this year, Achieving Forgiveness. We set ourselves a goal, and we know that hopefully God will forgive us for all our trespasses in the past year. We believe it, and we start next year, we start Matzah Shabbos, and a new slate, which is why, as we used to joke around in yeshiva, right after we daven, right after Nila is over, we daven Ma'ariv, and we daven quickly, and we say, Slach lanu avinu ki chatanu in Shmon Esrei, which is very strange. What did we do? We didn't have a chance to do any sins. And of course, the Rebbe used to tell us that time that was for davening the Shmon Esrei up to that point in Kriya Shema so quickly so that we could eat. We didn't take enough time to daven. That was our first sin of the year. And therefore, it's already time to say Slach Lanu. But there's other factors involved here. And the interesting turn of the phrase is light is sown for the righteous. What does that mean? Well, when we think about it, how does Yom Kippur begin the laning? Is we open up the Torah to Achrei Mos, and we read Achrei Mos, Shnei B'nei Aharon, and it has all to do with the service, the davening on Yom Kippur. Of course, there was no davening, but we have all the karbonas. But the interesting thing about the karbonas is something very strange that we wouldn't think it has any part in Yiddishkeit. The Kohen Gadol brings a karbon, and of course, the first part makes sense. And it says, V'chiper bado v'yad beiso, whenever we commit a crime, we commit a sin, and we want God to expiate the sin, to expunge our guilt, we bring a karbon chatos, and hopefully we bring it with the right machshava, and God expunges our guilt, and we start fresh. And since the head of the household would be the man, the Kohen Gadol, of his own house. But to say, subsequent to that, to say, V'chiper bado v'yad kol kahal Yisrael, and then also another problem was with V'chiper bado v'yad ha'am. We might ask ourselves many questions right there, because we know in other religions that we're all too familiar with, in Christianity, we told that their leader, not to mention Yimach Shemo v'zichro, is that he died for all their sins. So how could we possibly say that V'chiper bado uviat kol kahal Yisrael, v'chiper bado uviat ha'om, that the Kohen Gadol has the koach, he has the power, the ability to do this service, and in doing the service that he performs, he can affect a expiation of all the sins of Klal Yisrael. It seems like a very, very difficult thing, and he certainly goes against the grain, because the Torah tells us, Ish b'cheto yumasu, whenever you do a crime, you're responsible, you have your own guilt to bear. And of course, that's why we're doing all the al-chaits, and we clap, and we have the vidui, we say oshamnu, bogadnu, all these things that we do to affect a forgiveness, God to forgive us for all our sins. And there, the Kohen Gadol was given the authority to beg for forgiveness for everyone. And how does he actually achieve that? What is the process that would work for that to happen? And very simply, not very simply, but the reality is, what is the responsibility of the Kohen Gadol? And we open up a Gemara Makkos, and of course it says on Daf Yud Aleph, he gives us a whole scenario where if somebody kills somebody accidentally, sort of semi-accidentally, we can't ascertain whether he had any bad intentions or whatever it is, but he went to trial and it was deemed that he has to go run away to Ari Miklat. He's given safe conduct and he has to remain there for an extended period of time, or at least we are told that he has to stay there until the death of the Kohen Gadol. And when the Kohen Gadol dies, he can return home and resume his normal life. What was the his chayvus? What is the achrayus of the Kohen Gadol that the person has to stay there until the death of the Kohen Gadol? What did he do? Most likely, he didn't even know this person, had no idea what the crime was, or had any part in it, had no way to know anything. And why should he be guilty? Why should he have bear any responsibility that everybody has to, so to speak, pray? The Gemara has the question, why does somebody, I mean, obviously the people there who want to return home, given safe conduct back to their normal life, they have to wait for the Kohen Gadol to die. It seems like a tremendous burden on the Kohen Gadol. But what is the responsibility of the Kohen Gadol? And the responsibility, therefore, is as any leader, is to get to know his flock, to get to know his congregation, to get to know all the people of Klal Yisrael, to make sure that he knows what the strengths, what the weaknesses are. And how does he accomplish that? Because truthfully, he has probably never met most of the people in Klal Yisrael. Of course, when they came to the Beis HaMikdash on the Shalosh Regalim, perhaps he would meet many more people than just sitting in Yerushalayim. But regardless, if we have a couple of, at least in those days, at least a couple of million people that were there in the Beis HaMikdash and all the people that comes, how could he possibly know the strength and weaknesses of all the people in Klal Yisrael that he should bear responsibility for that? But it's his responsibility to have hashpah on the people. And how does he affect that? By getting to know them. He can't get to know them, but he can get to know the leaders of each tribe. The leaders can come to him. Certainly the leaders of each shevet can come to him and say what's going on in their community. They would pass on the information. The leaders of each small shul or congregation would come to the leader of the shevet. And it just passes on, and everyone could discuss their strengths and weaknesses and know what's going on in the community. The same way when we go through Gemaras, when in different towns had different halachas for same scenario cases, and the Chachamim would always answer that in your town, maybe this is the way the proclivity of the people were to do certain things one way. And in our town, we do business in another way, and therefore the halacha might be different. And we have to know, the leaders have to be aware of what's going on in their town. It is the responsibility, the hischaivus, of the rabbi of a congregation, of a rebbe in a class, to know his students, to get to know them and to understand their strengths and weaknesses. And in this way, he could talk to them privately in a nice way and sow the seeds of getting to know them, developing a relationship with the congregation each time. I know there are so many people over the years that I've had, the people that have come and gone, the people that have been born in the shul and passed away, have told, you know, what the rabbi ends up doing a lot of times in shul is he's a sounding board for the people that come and tell him their life stories and all the things that they've gone through. And by this, he understands why one person acts one way and one person acts another, and they give in different stimuli. They act very differently. Everybody has their own stimuli. And what we do is, how do we affect something to save ourselves? The answer is not very simple, of course, but when we put on our tefillin in the morning, there's a very interesting pasuk that we say, and what we say, "Bayanicheu lavod es Hashem b'kichol halev," like our heart desires. Why would we say a sentence like that? "As our heart desires." Not everybody's heart, the pasuk, probably it would seem that Chazal asked the question, perhaps the pasuk should have said we should do the mitzvos of the Torah as we are commanded to do it, not as our heart asks us to do. Because how do I know everybody's heart is different? We can only do, we are driven to do things that our heart desires. Not everybody goes to a 6 o'clock minyan, 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock. Not everybody goes to minyan. There are various things to do, but at least we set standards for ourselves. we try to be Shomer Torah mitzvos. One way that we can set an example, or zorua, the seeds are sown by the parents, the grandparents, who show the way they live their lives as a Torah Jew. Those of us who understand learning at a greater level certainly can teach the next generation. Very few people, obviously not that many, can expound and explain everything in the Torah as carefully as some people and as well to express themselves. However, those people, at least the children see if those people are attempting to learn. Those of us who are listening to a shiur at night, every night, this shiur, that shiur, there are so many hundreds, thousands of shiurim that we have the capability of listening to. Even if we listen to and we don't understand some of the things that might be said, but our children see that this is the way we live our lives, that we try, we do our best to better ourselves, to change our heart, b'chol levav, to do the mitzvos the way our heart generates us to do it. And we get that, even though when we learn and we don't understand, but the way seeds, when they're planted in the ground, they don't all take root, but they blow in the wind, but nevertheless, it sets up the next generation. And in this way, it's Or Zeruah LaTzadik. The seeds are sown for the righteous, and that brings us the Nachas Ruach for the next generation. That gives us, what greater nachas can we have than watching our children grow up and walk in the footsteps of our parents and grandparents and walk in the same way and be Shomer Torah mitzvos? And that is why we begin the davening, Or Zeruah LaTzadik Uli Yishrei Lev Simcha. If we want to grow in that way, we will do. And that is why, therefore, after we put on our tefillin and we're davening, there's an interesting thing that it says in the pasuk in that we lay, and it says, "Kol kvuda bas melech panima." Many of us are so overcome, we don't have the ability to concentrate when we put on our tefillin in the morning. How do we concentrate when the parsha begins? The Aaron, God, Moshe says to Aaron, to Moshe, God tells Moshe to tell Aaron, "Bial yovo b'chol eisel hakodesh," after the death of Nadav and Avihu. What does that phrase mean? There's more than that. Nadav and Avihu shouldn't have come into the Kodesh Kodoshim at that time. But when we set out to daven in the morning, "Al yovo b'chol eisel hakodesh," you don't just daven anytime and anywhere where you feel like. You should be dressed properly. You should have the proper concentration. You should have many thoughts. Try to blot out as many thoughts as you can to concentrate on the davening. Sometimes in the morning when I look around and I see some people literally holding a cup of coffee in their hand or looking at their telephones, of course this is during the week, and sneaking a peek at the phone, is that what we're there for? God is giving us an opportunity to daven. Are we walking around the shul or are we standing there at attention? I always remembered many years ago when I had a person who was a very uneducated person, but anytime I gave him a kibbutz in the shul, what I learned from him, he lived quite a long life. He passed away well into his 90s. And yet when I called him up, even when he was having trouble walking, when he got pesicha for the take out the Sefer Torah, he ran with such zrizus to the Aron Kodesh. And while we would say Birch Shmei, he stood there at attention like he was standing before a general in the army to pass inspection. And I thought about that and I learned so much. This is a man who knew nothing, but he understood the Kedusha of standing there next to a Sefer Torah. He kept that mindset that he is now at attention, he's standing before God. When we daven, do we have that attention? We know, unfortunately, it's very difficult to maintain a total concentration on the davening to lead our lives, those of us who have to earn a living and are busy and have the tirchus of earning a living for our families, we have other things. And therefore, what I mentioned was, there's another thing that we have. The reason why a Jewish child in Judaism, the law is he has to have a Jewish mother rather than a father. The reason is kol kvud bas melech benima. While both parents are given the mitzvah of chinuch, of bringing up the child, the Torah and the mitzvahs are to be taught by the father. Unfortunately, because of the father's tirchus, the father's duties of being out in the workforce, of course, it's less than that now. Many women obviously go to work today, maybe almost even, but not in all Jewish households. Probably a greater percentage of us still the ones who stay home. And since they are given the opportunity to be with their children as little children, they are not contaminated by the outside world, by the thievery that goes on, that we have this taiva to make a better deal, earn more money. The women who are not exposed to it, who are bringing up the child in a safer and more a cleaner environment in the home as they grow up, and by the time they get old enough to experience the world, they have a foundation of the person who was more at home rather than out in the world, that we know what it's like outside in the world today. So we start called Kvuda Bas Melech Benima. So the responsibility is given to the mother, and that's why the child has to have a Jewish mother for the success of the household. But the result is that when we begin davening on Yom Kippur, we start with the pasuk, Or Zoru Al HaTzadik. May we, all our actions, sow the seeds of the righteous for our next generation and the generations to come. We see in this past year all the trials and tribulations that we as a people have been through. It has, on the bright side of all of these things that the people in Eretz Israel have gone through, and those of us who have families there living outside in Chutz La'aretz, that some of us certainly have lost families, or certainly we know people who have been lost, but there's been a tremendous awakening of being a Jew. And there are so many Jews who have witnessed so many miracles, and because of that, have come over to Frumkeit, have come over to the Yiddishkeit. And that is the silver lining in everything that we have. And that's why we say, Or Zoru Al HaTzadik Uliyishrei Lev Simcha. This will bring us the greatest joy. May we experience that joy in the coming year. May we get over all our trials and tribulations. And by the way, from this year onward, even though we celebrated October 7th, the Rabbanit Taroshit gave a formal date for the future Yahrzeits of what we call in English October 7th, will be Chav Dalet Tishrei, 2 days after Sukkot, because the day after is Isru Chag. And so while we can have a day of remembrance on Yontif, because Yontif takes precedence over anything, V'samachta b'chagecha, which we'll discuss next week, but we will have that day of remembrance on Chav Dalet of Tishrei henceforth. May we all have a good year. May we all daven with greater concentration this year and look forward to setting an example for those around us, not just for our children, but for the world around us, for our neighbors, that see that we as Jews answer to a higher authority. Have a meaningful fast to one and all. Thank you.
Thank you so much.